This is Deborah Beck, professor of ancient Greek literature in the Department of Classics at the University of Texas at Austin. My students and I are excited to welcome you to our podcast, Musings in Greek Literature.
Hi, and welcome to season 3 of Musings on Greek Literature. This season, we're focusing on Apollonius's Argonautica. This will be episode 3 with me, Cade Hurley, and my co-host, Dylan Taylor. All right. I'm here with Dylan today to discuss Argonautica, book 3, roundabouts, line 171 through 194. And we're looking at a scene where Jason and the Argonauts are camped out in their ship in the reeds near the city of Aeetes, and Jason is about to address the Argonauts with a speech setting forth his plan for how they should proceed in getting this fleece. So I'm just going to offer a kind of quick summary and read some Greek and go through to give an overview, and then we'll talk about what our impressions are from this passage. So Jason opens up by saying that this mission is common to all the Argonauts, and all have the right to speak and to disagree with him if they so please. And then he says in line 179, Pyreso de pesi paroiteron antibolesas, eik etheloi philoteti deros cruseon opasai, eikai u pisnos de bie metiontas atisei. That is, I will test him first with words upon meeting him, if he might wish by friendship to give the golden fleece, or if not, he will disregard our coming, trusting in his strength. So right off the bat here, Jason is laying out his plan, and he uses these two conditions. We have etheloi in the optative, which kind of signifies that this is the less likely option versus atise in the future. What will more likely happen, he's admitting right from the jump, is that Aeetes is not very likely to give up the fleece just upon them asking, but he might think that the Argonauts aren't really a threat and disregard them, seeing as he's very proud of his own sort of competence in violence. And Jason goes on to say, Medeautos alke prinepesi ge pyrethenai, and not thus by force before testing with words. So he's re-emphasizing this theme several times throughout. And again, on line 188, Polaki toi rea muthos hokin molis ex anusein enore tade erexe katakreos. And this line is thankfully fresh on our minds from our quiz today. So looking back now, I translated it mostly right. Many times a word easily accomplishes what prowess scarcely could bring about. So, Dylan, from all this, what's your impression of Jason's plan here, and what about his character does it reveal?
Well, I like how we see Jason immediately in this speech as a diplomat, right? I like how he's advocating going and approaching Aeetes with words over strength, just as he is talking to his companions, the Argonauts, with words over strength. So the idea that Jason is a mediator, he has to convince both his own companions and Aeetes himself to get what he wants. He is not by himself. He lacks the agency in his own heroism to just affect change. So his diplomatic words here, the suggestion of words over strength, the way he's sort of convincing his companions that this is the best option is sort of speaks to his character and the sort of the role that he has as the leader of the Argonauts and the way that he will approach his mission.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I wonder if exactly how convincing Apollonius means this speech to be, because it seems like Jason is aware that this plan isn't very likely to work out, and yet he's still advocating for it. I mean, from what he and the crew know of Aetes, he's not the sort of man who would be friendly to strangers coming and asking for a gift of this magnitude. So I think we see some of Jason's notorious passivity and, like you said, lack of agency in the way he frames this plan and exactly what he's advocating, that is to just go up and ask, which is seems to be not much of a plan at all. How do you think it's clear from this that Jason is a departure from other epic heroes, and that's clear from several other instances throughout the book that we've seen before. But how do you see that departure, and how might other epic heroes have reacted in this situation?
Well, I think it's important to note, as if you look at a Homeric hero, that all the best ones, Achilles, Odysseus, etc., are above all, they have prowess both in strength and in words. It's the combination of the two different sides that make the heroes so important, so powerful, and so influential. For example, Achilles in book 9 of the Iliad shows how eloquent he can be, how he can construct a solid argument as he goes up against Odysseus and the other heroes trying to convince him of something. But of course, we know that Achilles is the most powerful hero, and in terms of strength as well, is above all the best. Odysseus as well. Everyone knows that he's crafty, wily. He has the words, he has the tricks, he has the plans, but he's also a powerful hero. He's a powerful warrior. He's strong. He's able to go up and grab a stake and blind the Cyclops in the eye. He's able to win competitions of athleticism when he meets the Phaeacians. And Jason here, we can see that he's got one side, or at least he's attempting to have the one side of the heroic archetype. He's advocating the diplomacy, the words, the logical structure, but he doesn't seem to be able to back it up with the force, with the beer, just like other Homeric heroes might.
Yeah, I think that Apollonius oftentimes refers to Jason's potential in this area, but we never really get to see it on display. And that seems to be Apollonius is doing this with pointed intention, I think. And a word we've discussed quite a bit in class that's not present here, but it's kind of, I would say, latent in the context is Jason's epithet of amekanos, which means helpless or without device. So oftentimes throughout the work, Apollonius uses this word in his own voice or in the voice of another character to refer to Jason, from the sacrifice scene before the departure when Idas upbraids Jason for looking worried about the potential danger of the voyage, to Jason after Hercules is left behind. And it's a moment of doubt for him as a leader, and he's not sure what to do and seems to lack confidence, and is only sort of rescued by a god coming up and telling them that this is all going according to plan. And coming up in the next scene, we have him described the same way, with a different form of the word, amekanon, with the same meaning as a participle. After Aetes refuses this plan that he's laid forth here, he stands with his eyes fixed at his feet for perhaps an awkward amount of time without any words or recourse to Aiti's aggressive refusal of his offer. And I think the big question here that I have is, why is Apollonius writing an epic with an Amekanos hero? I think I would eliminate off the bat the possibility that Apollonius is trying to write a straightforward epic and somehow has just made a mistake. I think he's too learned in Homeric epic to make that sort of mistake. And I think it's very clear from the repetition of these themes that this is his intention and certainly one of the main themes of the book. So I was wondering what your take on that might be, and maybe we could put out some options for Apollonius's big picture sort of idea on this theme.
Yeah, so I think an interesting thing to note is that Jason needs to choose between force or words. Those are his two options that he gives himself. But in the end, neither of those are what work, right? Those are what he thinks that he must do, but he's completely wrong there, because those two options are what perhaps other heroes might have used, either Achilles with his strength, Odysseus with his wiles and words. But for Jason, neither of those end up working. What does work, and what actually gives him the fleece, is help, the idea of companionship, the idea of Eros, love with Medea, but also the gods, his piety, having Hera back him up on his side and orchestrate matters, and the other companions who help him escape and get to Colchis in the first place. So I think we see Jason as a sort of interim mediator who relies on other people. And that seems to be the sort of idea that Apollonius is looking to explore with his new type of hero. Where have we left when a hero can't use either words or strength? Well, he needs other people around him, and he needs to be able to mediate between those people to achieve what he needs. So I think the idea of love and Eros will become more and more important, and I'll discuss it in my podcast soon. But that idea that Jason is in between, he's helpless because he needs other people to help him.
Yeah, I think you've hit it on the head, and we've seen many times Jason exercise diplomatic skills, not just in this scene, but also he doesn't come out and declare himself leader when the crew of the Argo is first assembled. He asks for an election, and it's quite interesting that the crew unanimously looks to Hercules, who then refuses leadership and demands that Jason be made leader. But it sets up his character in this way. And I think it does seem to be a debate between a positive reading of Jason, I think like you're giving, where he stands for collaboration, the need for the aid of others for a hero, especially the aid of Medea, which will end up being decisive. But he's unique as a hero in having this massive crew behind him of so many heroes who each really step up in particular instances. And it's a very collaborative effort where each one uses their specialty to the mission's end. And I think on the other side of that, you could take it as a similar commentary on the nature of heroism, but with Jason as a less positive character, in the sense of not substituting a different mode of heroism, but commenting in a negative way on the older epic hero who is, above all, you know, has the force of arms and is never fails. And where Jason is Amekanos, it would end up being almost a satire on the older type of hero. I tend to agree with you more and lean towards the first alternative, because I don't think we can read the work as a whole as a satire. I think that Apollonius wants us to take Jason seriously as a hero, even though his epithet and the way he does things are quite surprising in a narrative of this type. And maybe we should say something. We can cut this out, but maybe we should say something to wrap things up here. And yeah. Let's see. And maybe we can give a little teaser of what you have coming up with Medea. Are you going to talk most about her, sort of the love kindling scene?
Yeah, just that sort of stuff. Yeah.
All right. Well, I'll give you a little lead in there. Let's see. Well, I think we've squared away what we can, as much as we can, on this question of Amekanos, Jason, and how Apollonius intends us to take him. And so I wanted to give you a chance, Dylan, to tease what you've got coming up on the next episode a little bit.
Yeah, guys. So thanks for listening. Next time I'll be talking about the instance where Medea first experiences Eros, the love for Jason, and sort of how Apollonius portrays that. So,
all right, Dylan. Well, we look forward to it. Thanks for coming on and talking about this with me. Thank you again to Dylan for coming on and talking with me today. The experience of being Teacher of the Day gave me a new appreciation for a different level of preparation of a Greek text. When you're standing up in front of your classmates, you have no idea what they're going to ask about or what word you'll be asked to parse and what syntactical construction you'll be asked to explain. So you really get into the detail and make it a point to know every word, every clause, and it's a completely different level of preparation from when you're a simple student just needing to give a translation that'll be good enough to keep the class rolling. I have a new appreciation for the process of teaching because you need to have something to say about any question asked you, at least to the best of your abilities. I think you recognize the limitations of any person when you're up there teaching and somebody stumps you with a question. It makes you realize that any teacher is carrying so much information that they have to have at their disposal ready, that the most surprising thing about doing Teacher of the Day was how the greater level of preparation of vocabulary and grammar of the passage sort of made the discussion of the broader themes and close reading much easier. I think as a student, if you just work to translate at a basic level to prepare for class, you're missing a lot of the things that a deeper preparation like you would be doing as a teacher would bring out in a text. And I think that it showed me the techniques and the level of depth needed to get a good close reading and discussion of themes out of a Greek text.